absolutely, Rich. We started off later in the week last week, had some rain, about an inch rain, and fields were pretty muddy then. City got them ready to go. We were ready. We tarped them, the fields, and then it rained again. And overnight, Friday night or late Friday, we had some rain. We untarped the fields, and it was really muddy. And anybody listening, ever think about that? Unless you have one tarp to cover all the dirt on an infield, it just doesn't work. It was a good idea. We tried it, and it didn't work. So we had some pretty muddy fields, and we were up there first thing Saturday morning. Made phone calls right away to people that there was going to be a delay, and so we just. Sometimes it's just too muddy to go. But parents were talking, trying to figure out what to do. And you know, to be honest, we're really close just to calling it. And it was going to be hard to do because we knew. I mean, there wasn't any more rain in the forecast, and Sunday was going to be sunny and 90. But we were really close to just calling the whole tournament off. And then so somebody talked about maybe using the fields out at RV, those practice fields out there, out to Esch Fields. So made a phone call. We got the okay on that. People went out and checked, said, yeah, think we can go out there. And, you know, with the help of the Esches and a lot of people, went out there and got those fields ready. And what was amazing is when that decision was made that we were going to move some games out there, that it just, I mean, people just took over. They just got stuff done. I mean, we rounded up, people lined up to get porta potties out there, got the fields ready. I know Brian Esch did some mowing for us out there, like foul lines and stuff, got them chalked and ready to go. And I never did make it out there, but it was really neat to see just tons of cars parked out there, tents up, people sitting trying to make some shade out there. And it was really good to see the fields ended up being in great shape. So we're just very fortunate that, you know, so many people worked so hard to get that done out there. And then up here, we were getting one field ready at a time up here. And so we started later in the day, had the 16s and 18s going on the southeast field. That was the first field to get ready. And then, you know, we had a lot of people working on those fields, and real gradually, they just got going. The northwest field was next up. You know, we made a call out to RV to the parents that, you know, this field will be ready at this time. And then later on, the last field was ready. And by the end of the day, we were playing on all the fields up to the JC, and we had to adjust our schedule. We got all our games in, moved games around time-wise and stuff, and got everything going. And we had our last game was supposed to start at 10 o'clock. And it might start just a little bit later than that, but we ended up going on a 60-minute game drop dead. So just the game stopped at 60 minutes. And you know, that's not fun. That's tough on teams. And we've been on the other side of that, but that was the only way we're going to get these games in and not be up there till 2 o'clock in the morning. So got that all done and got everything cleaned up, ready to go for the next day. And then Sunday just went off on our regular schedule, and we had 14 champs, and just got to thank everybody that worked so hard, you know, all our parents, and there's a lot of people involved that, so it's us and the Rebels 14 and under that are doing this tournament. And just thanks to all the parents that work so hard, just constantly, you know, after every game, that's one thing we do. We try and work every field and chalk as much as, you know, as we can in between games, and just, so many people work real hard to get this going and keep it going. So just a big thank you to all those people. And it was really amazing to see what you could accomplish when people just go to work. You just, you know, just give them a job to do, and they get it done. So that was a lot of fun to watch.
And you busted out the pink jerseys for, I don't know, for day two or both days, but saw some pictures on that, and that was pretty special, wasn't it?
Right. We have a mom, Teresa Hodgson, that's been fighting cancer, and we just surprised her. The parents, we got pink T-shirts to honor her, and the girls wore pink uniforms on Sunday, and it's just a way to honor her. She's been going through a lot, and she's been able to go to, I think, almost every game this year, and just want to honor her and her family, and, you know, let them know that we're thinking of them. And it just, it was a nice idea, and I'm glad we did that. So, yeah, that's what we wore. I don't know that we've ever worn pink before on game day, but, you know, the girls played really well, and it looked pretty sharp, so.
And, of course, you had some good battles with some pretty good teams, didn't you?
Yeah, we did, Rich. So in our division, the 16-18 under, in the tournament, we had the North Platte Sensations, and they were the 18 under Class B state champs this year. And then we had Fearless Softball from Kearney, which used to be D'Amelico. They were the runner-up, so those two had played each other in the championship game at state. And St. Paul's in our division, they're always really good. You know, Shattering Slammers, Prodigy teams. And it just, yeah, it was a tough field. And we had teams from Colorado, Lincoln, and Lincoln Rockets were here, GI, Hastings. So, yeah, we had teams from all around, you know, a couple North Platte teams, their Western Nebraska teams. So, yeah, we're just, I mean, you can come down here and play teams you hadn't played all year. So it was a good round of, you know, of teams. And so it was really nice to see once everything got going up to JC, how full it was. And, you know, it felt bad for the concession people. That was one thing, too, is that we're hoping not to cancel because they'd already had two tournaments canceled on them. And you know, when you have 26 teams in town, and you know, if you're the concession people, you're just hoping that they can come up to the ballpark and, you know, spend a little money at the concession stand. So I'm happy we're able to do that so they can at least get that tournament in this year.
How about your other champions, the other divisions? How'd that go?
Well, we had, let's see, I think it's in the 12U. It was a Western Nebraska Fire and Ice. And then we had two different 14 under divisions, red and black. I'm not sure which. So in one of them, it was Western Nebraska Chaos, and the other one, it was D'Amelico. And so this is the thing that we do in our tournament is that because we had three fields and we want to get as many teams in as we can, we just do a four-game pool play. So it's you just don't have an outright championship game unless it happens to work out. So in that one division, it was D'Amelico and Hastings Bombers. It was their last game of the day, and they were both undefeated. So this is the championship game. And watching that game, and it was tight, and it's like this might end in a tie. So I had to real quick go add up the scores. So if there's so you go head to head. So if there's a tie, that doesn't count. Well, record head-to-head, and then they had the same record. Head-to-head could be a tie. So then we go to runs allowed, and I did the math, had somebody double-check me, and they both had allowed the same number of runs. And then you go to run scored, and when we got to run scored, D'Amelico was ahead by one run. So at the end of that game in a tie, according to our rules, D'Amelico would win. And it was. I don't think they were very happy, especially the Hastings Bombers, that that's the way it ended. They wanted to just keep on playing for a championship, but you know, all our other games would have been played by that rule, and we still had games to go. So that was a tough one. But D'Amelico did end up winning that division. And then in the 18-under, our team went undefeated and won the 16-18 division.
And this wrapped up your season for the summer, didn't it?
Yep, it did for us. And we had those four games. We start off with the Sensations, which our first game of the tournament ended up being at 9 o'clock on Saturday night. Like I said, they're this year's state champs. 60-minute drop dead. We won that game 8-0. Then we turn right around at 10 o'clock, play Shattering Slammers, and they're a good team. We had to come up with some good plays, people on base, and end up catching some, caught a line drive and a great play out in the outfield, too, to hold on that win 3-1. When we played Prodigy McCook, and that was Saturday morning 11, won that game 8-0, and then we turned around to the championship and played St. Paul, and then in ours, so we had two pools, and we did crossover games there, and they won the other side, so we ended up playing them and won 15-4, but what was tough for St. Paul, and it's just the way it worked out, is that they played all their pool games on Saturday, and they had to sit around and wait until 5 o'clock to play us in the championship. So, you know, that wasn't the best situation for them. But in that game, I mean, our girls just played great all weekend. I mean, nearly perfect. And we just had just one inning, you know, that first inning against St. Paul. They scored four on us. But after that, we came back, and I think we scored six in the bottom of the first inning, and just didn't look back and just kept on going. So, yeah, our girls played great. Pitching was great. I mean, we hit the ball well, great plays out in the field. And the last half of the season, our girls are just playing, you know, lights out. And it was just fun. You really see with our girls that they're just excited for each other when somebody has a good hit or makes a play. And that's what's great. They're just happy for each other when somebody does something good or has a good hit or whatever. And I thought it was a really fun weekend. It was stressful and it was tiring, but I was really happy to just see how all our family just stepped up and did what had to be done. I mean, like Darren Morgan's out. He was out at Eschfields working all that out there, and we didn't put we buy fireworks and, you know, set them off Saturday night. Well, we didn't get those all set up. I mean, Darren does a lot of work getting those things tied together so you can just light one fuse and they go. We do that on a trailer and usually try getting that done before the tournament starts, but if we were going to be rained out, we didn't do that, so maybe we could just take them back and not pay for them this year. But so Darren didn't have a lot of time at the middle of the day and on Saturday to get that done, and big shout out to him for doing that. And that, you know, that takes a lot of work to get that done so that we could have fireworks Saturday night. I thought it was a really good show. Everything went off without a hitch. I felt bad that maybe it was a little bit late in the night lighting those off, but we had a big crowd in that parking lot, and I think everybody had fun.
Do I dare ask what your final record for the season was?
Well, Rich, let's see. It's probably like, I think 26-15 maybe, okay. Or 26, something like that. Tom, actually, I got it on my phone, Tom Weimers. He keeps track of that. But, we played some really tough teams this year, and the record was good, but I just really love the way that the girls just stepped up the second half. It is hard for us. I mean, we don't get a ton of practice, and I know that's what's going to happen. All these girls are out for a spring sport, and that's great. And so, maybe we're a little rusty to start out the season, but the way they finished, that's exactly the way we wanted it to be. And just looking forward to these girls playing fall ball this year, and they just keep this team mentality going, and I think it's going to be exciting.